Prabhupada ki, Shrimati Vedanta ki, Grantaraj Shrimu Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Dai Gopri Manak. Okay. So tonight we'll continue with chapter 11. We're up to verse number 31. So we'll finish the chapter up to verse 58.
What is the chapter entitled?
Childhood pastimes of Krishna. So we're hearing about various pastimes of Krishna from his childhood, and now how the bridge buses have moved across the Jamuna from Gokul across to Chatika, and then they go across to Nandagram. So they're on the move at this point in time. And now we're here tonight, Krishna, more pastimes of Krishna in his childhood. This is Pogande Leela, when Krishna is probably maybe the end of Kaishora Leela also. So he's still very young. We will see how he kills a few of the demons, some of the famous demons. We'll hear about what they're about also, these particular demons. Bakasura and Vatsasura.
Okay.
Keeping all the old men, women, children and household paraphernalia on the bullock carts and keeping all the cows in front, the cowherd men picked up their bows and arrows with great care and sound of bugles made of horn. O King Parikshit, in this way, with bugles vibrating all around, the cowherd men, accompanied by their priests, began their journey.
In this connection, it is to be noted that although the inhabitants of the Gokula were mostly cowherd men and cultivators, they knew how to defend themselves from danger and how to give protection to the women, the old men, the cows and the children, as well as to the Brahmanical Rohit.
So any points there? Any other points? Vedic culture means that the innocent personalities must always be protected. That is Vedic civilization. So there is a list of five personalities. They must be protected under all circumstances. So women, children, brahmanas, cows, old people. Okay, that is the system. Human civilization, Vedic civilization, is based on protecting these five. And when these five are protected, then human civilization is peaceful. So women must always be protected. But we see now, in this day and age, women are not protected. You see in India, it's not even safe for women anymore. India is practically the worst country in the earth for women. It's dangerous for women now to even travel by themselves. So when civilization, due to the influence of the age of Kali, when it becomes like this, then everything becomes dismantled. You cannot have a peaceful society. It's not possible when women are not protected. So we see now, more and more, in Kali Yuga, that women are being exploited, and the more they become exploited, the more everything becomes contaminated and chaotic. Secondly, there is children. Children must always be protected under all circumstances. Same thing now, we see the children are being violated in all circumstances. Every time you put on the news, you cannot have a story without some child abuse, which is there. It's all over the world now. It's much worse than what we even understand. Child trafficking it's a massive industry on the planet. We don't even understand how big it is. It's shocking how much exploitation is taking place. So how can civilization be peaceful? There can't be peace, not possible. Then the cows. If you don't protect the cows, everything becomes. When Prabhupada says, every time the Prabhupada preaches to a Western person, you look through all his conversations, he sticks on this one point: why are you killing the cows? Because if you kill the cows, you cannot have a peaceful society. Now, Australia is the second biggest cow killing nation on the planet, behind India. So it is only a matter of time before Australia becomes completely chaotic. Right? It seems peaceful at the moment. It's the best place to live at the moment. Right? This city is the most livable city in the world. You know, every 10 years it wins 7 out of 10 years. Always, Melbourne always wins best city in the world. Like that. But it won't last because people are eating meat. And so much cow slaughter is taking place in this place. Therefore, in a matter of time, everything will become chaotic and unpeaceful. So then the women, the children, the cows, the old people have to be protected. Same thing around the world, they're becoming less and less protected. Prabhupada even states that in Papua New Guinea, sometimes they get the old people, put them on the roof and roll them off. Right? And then they have a feast. These are cannibal people. They eat other humans. So if the people are too old in the village, they roll them off and they have the Sunday feast. Right? All the old people in the village. This happens. Like that. So people are not looking after the old people. Therefore, you cannot expect a peaceful society. And then lastly, you have the brahmanas. The women, the children, the old people, the cows, and the brahmanas. The brahmanas need to be protected. These days, it's exactly the opposite. The government is meant to protect these. But instead of protecting cows, the government in Australia is organising for more cows to be killed. Because it's one of our biggest industries in Australia. It's where we make the most money. And with the brahmanas, they're meant to support the brahmanas, but in Australia they do the opposite. They try to destroy the brahminical class. All around the world this is taking place. ISKCON should be state-funded. Now we have to go and raise money now to build this kitchen. The government gave us $500,000, but they should be paying for the whole thing. Devotees should not even have to work. All the money should come from the government, and then we just preach. Yeah. But in many countries in the world, in Russia, China, Middle East, they try to stop our movement, impede our movement through demoniac civilization. So society cannot be peaceful when these five are not looked after. So what do we see? We see in Nanda Maharaj's village, he is the king. Right? So he makes sure that these five are protected. And when the five are protected, everything is peaceful. When the five are not protected, everything falls apart. And we see Kali Yuga is based on this. These five are exploited. And therefore, we have a very chaotic situation. So, any points?
The speaker was saying that in Kali Yuga, it is very complicated to live simply. If somebody desires to live simply, then it's very complicated. Because somebody wants to have fresh water from the river, but you know, there's nothing like that available. So there is no simplicity, a lifestyle available which can promote simplicity. It's all very complicated in Kali Yuga, and people have to sort of fit into that lifestyle. Otherwise, it's very, life becomes difficult if somebody actually wants to follow the simple way.
Yeah. So the alternative is we have to live in a rural situation again, which no one wants to do. But that's the answer once again. People need to go back to the simple way of life. The United Nations have said in the last 12 months, the only way to sustain the current population growth in the world is small-scale organic farming. They've said that. But no one wants to do it, so they're... Everything will just grind to a halt in due course of time. Kali Yuga ki jai.
It was in the news some days ago that Bhutan is the first country which has become negative carbon. Like they have more trees which absorb their carbon dioxide than they actually emit carbon dioxide.
Which country is that?
Bhutan.
Yeah.
And they had given some statistics where they had said that on some Queen's birthday or share a few years ago, and every person planted like so many trees that they planted for 49,000 something trees in 1 hour. Like trees planting is so much promoted, and the government said that we will sustain if we will not allow trees to be cut at all.
Hmm. That's good. That's nice. Any other points?
And Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna is arguing his point where he doesn't want to fight, he mentions that if he fights, women will become widows and women won't be protected. And he goes into detail about then what happens to society. I just thought it was
relevant.
Yeah.
Probably mentioned that in the start, he said the weaker section of the society. But the women, old men, girls and children can understand, but how do you understand? Brahmanas, they're supposed to be the first in the society, the first class in the society. You said the five.
Innocent. Innocent. It means Brahmanas are peaceful by nature. They're peaceful. Not like the Chacha. Chacha is very strong. But Brahmanas are peaceful. So they're innocent. They don't retaliate in fighting. It means when the tigers come to the forest, the Brahmanas, they just sit and the tigers sometimes come and eat. So the Chacharis go into the forest to practice archery to kill the tigers so they don't attack the Brahmanas like that. So these Brahmanas are generally more innocent, generally, if they want to. I mean, they can also pick up a weapon and fight if they want, but generally their nature is not so much like that, generally. So. Any other point?
I have a question. Is it that the only reason the Brahmanas are on this list?
Yeah.
I think there might be more.
Well, they have to be protected, that's the point.
But maybe because they love God, so God, you have to protect them even more than normal human beings.
Yeah, they're more important.
Yeah.
In general. Okay. The cowherd women riding on the bullock carts were dressed very nicely with excellent garments, and their bodies, especially their breasts, were decorated with fresh kumkum powder. As they rode, they began to chant with great pleasure the pastimes of Krishna. It is auspicious when the women are dressed very opulently. And Prabhupada mentions this back in Canto 3. That when there's festivals, all the Matajis dress up. And we're in the Sringa Chattadasi or something, then everyone dresses up very nicely. You wear Mangala Sutra, silk sari, and you dress up, put gopi dots on the face. That is auspicious. That is Vedic culture. When the women are dressing nicely and everything is very, then that creates an auspicious atmosphere. And then the whole of society becomes purified by that. So that is the system. So you see all the women, they dress very nicely and they were traveling across the countryside. And with great pleasure, they were chanting the pastimes of Krishna. So that is the Vrindavan life. Prabhupada explains. Vrindavan is based on one thing, glorifying Krishna. So all the Brijbasis, as they're traveling, they just speak about Krishna continuously. We need to learn to do this. Because we don't do this. You get together and everyone starts speaking Prajalpa. Or sometimes devotees get together, they start criticizing all the other devotees. Sometimes this happens. So if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you need to speak about Krishna, or Prabhupada says, things related to Krishna. That is the system. And then we become purified. So the Brijbasis are teaching us. Don't waste your time. Just like we get together here, we talk about Krishna. This is the system. This is how we become purified. And if you do it here, then you'll do it more outside of the class. Otherwise, you see some devotees, they don't speak about Krishna very much because they're not going to classes, not hearing about Krishna. If you don't hear about Krishna, you won't chant about Krishna. Get a point? Thus, hearing about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram, with great pleasure, Mother Yashoda and Rohini Devi, so as not to be separated from Krishna and Balaram for even a moment, got up with them on one bullock cart. In this situation, they all looked very beautiful. So, Paya, I want to repeat.
It appears that Madhuri Ashoda and Rohini could not be separated from Krishna and Balaram even for a moment. They used to pass their time either by taking care of Krishna and Balaram or by chanting about their pastime. Thus, Madhuri Ashoda and Rohini looked very beautiful.
What were the points there?
We should always remember Krishna and everything.
Amen.
I have one point.
Yeah.
They said that if you talk about Krishna, you become beautiful. I remember when I saw devotees for the first time, like everyone looked very beautiful to me. And then I remember one devotee who left, who left Krishna consciousness, and he changed in his face. Like, completely. There was no death lasted.
Yeah, that's true.
Prabhupada said devotees are bright face.
Yes. Jesus. He said especially brahmacharis. Because they become very effulgent. Yeah, so what is the nature of Vrindavan? The nature of Vrindavan is everyone is attached to Krishna. You know, everyone is attached. So Rohini and Yashoda, they want to get on the cart with Krishna. They can't be without Krishna. Right? How do we understand this emotion? Right? We understand this emotion through the Ashraya Vigraha. What does the Ashraya Vigraha mean? Your spiritual master. Right? Guru. Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Guru is Ashraya Vigraha. This is, you understand these emotions the bridge bhaktis have towards Krishna. You can understand that somewhat with the feeling you have towards your guru, towards Prabhupada, one of the spiritual masters. Because when we have this attachment to guru, we want to be with the guru all of the time. You feel so much attachment to the spiritual master, you want to be with them. And if they're around, you want to experience their association. You saw like Prabhupada, and whenever Prabhupada was walking somewhere, you always see in the photos a big crowd behind him. Everyone just wanted to follow, just wanted to see what would he say, what would he do. Everyone just wanted to be in his presence. So Krishna is like that. You know, everyone just wants to be with Krishna all of the time. So Yashoda, Rohini, they get onto the cart. They can't be without Krishna and Balaram for a moment. And Krishna and Balaram can't be separate from each other. Rohini was going on one cart and Yashoda was going on the other cart. But Krishna and Balaram, they keep calling out to each other. Like that. So they say, okay, come on, just go on the same cart. So everyone got on the one cart. Otherwise, they're just going to be looking at each other the whole time. Right? So it's the nature of Vrindavan. The nature of Vrindavan is attachment. Everyone is attached to Krishna. You know? In the material world, we're all attached to who? Aham ameti. Aham means I and mine. I'm attached to me and my family, or my friends, or my husband, or my wife, or my children, or my father, my mother, my like that. My. So that is aham ameti. But in the spiritual world, Vishnu Chakraya Thakur, it's the opposite. I am Krishna's servant, and mameti, Krishna is my master. That is the mood of everyone in the spiritual world. So in the material world, it's the opposite. So spiritual life means changing that consciousness. From material consciousness, always thinking about yourself and that which is connected to your body. Deha pacha kala tradishu, Bhagavatam says. Change that from material attachment to spiritual attachment. Being attached to Krishna. So Krishna is showing us. Krishna and Balaram are attached to each other. Rohini is attached to Balaram and Krishna. Yashoda is attached to Balaram and Krishna. Everyone is attached. That's the nature of the spiritual world. Material world is the relationships are hollow. Because they're not real. You don't know if the person will stay attached to you or not. Will my wife stay with me? I don't know. Will my husband stay with me? I don't know. Will the children stay with me? I don't know. Will the parents stay with me? I don't know. In the material world, everything becomes hollow. The relationships become without substance, superficial. Whereas in the spiritual world is the opposite. The attachment is growing stronger and stronger. It's real. It's reliable. In this section, Krishna is once again called Achutya. Achutya means?
Infallible.
Yeah. So Krishna, in this chapter, the word is used again. It's one of the most popular names of Krishna in one sense. Because he's infallible. First name in the Bhagavad Gita, Achutya. So Krishna is infallible. So that is the nature of the relationships in the spiritual world in Vrindavan. Any points?
I thought you were called for in one card, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. But you said that they were calling each other.
Yeah, they wanted to go on different cards, but then because they're calling each other, put them on the one card.
Okay.
First two cards? No one card.
Okay.
Okay. Or King Pariksha, when Ram and Krishna saw Vrindavan, do we read that one? 35. In this way they enter Vrindavan, where it is always pleasing to live in all seasons. They made a temporary place to inhabit by placing their bullock carts around them in the shape of a half moon. So Vrindavan is pleasing in?
All seasons.
Huh? And in Vrindavan, which is the most holy place? Radhakund. And it says at Radhakund, the six seasons are represented in six forests surrounding Radhakund. So Radha and Krishna, they think, okay, I'll go into summer, or they can go into monsoon, or they can go to the spring or autumn, or the dew season. So different seasons. Sometimes it says they go into the forest, and all six seasons are in the one forest. This is spiritual. So all the seasons are pleasing. One time, one devotee said to Prabhupada, is there snow in the spiritual world? What did Prabhupada say? He said, yes, but it is warm. Well, that's the spiritual world. Even the snow is warm. Nothing is unpleasant. In the spiritual world, it says that, you know, you say you go to Mayapur, under the trees, and they build a platform around the tree at the bottom. You see in India they do this, very nice system. So it says those platforms in the summertime, they are cool, and in the wintertime they are warm, and there's no electricity, and they don't plug it in. It's not like a, you know, what do they call them, like those blankets you get, electric blanket. Yeah, they're dangerous, those things. Excellent. Many people die from those things. Not good to use them, but in the spiritual, everything just automatically. It's hot or it's cold to give Krishna pleasure. Because the whole of Vrindavan, the whole spiritual world, is an expansion of Lord Balaram. And Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. So he expands himself just to give pleasure to Krishna. So whatever season Krishna desires to experience, then that season manifests. So it says here that Vrindavan is satisfying in every season. Hands up if you'd like to go there. You can't go there because you're still attached to St. Kilda West. So you'll never go to Vrindavan. You have to give up your attachment. We all say we want to go, but too much attachment to this world. And if you attach to this world, you can't get out. Hare Krishna.
It says the six seasons are there in Vrindavan, but is it only in Radhakund or everywhere?
Well, it says around Radhakund the six seasons are the six forests are there. Usually, like, you know, summer comes and then winter comes and like, different things. I mean, in Radhakund, the six seasons are there, same time.
Okay.
Yeah. Anytime they can go to one of those seasons. Six directions. Nice place. I highly recommend it. Or King Pariksha.
The names of the forests
are in? Well, it's part of Vrindavan.
Because
we go around Radhakund,
we didn't see any forests. I know that this is only
in
the
mountains, but still. So what's the point?
We don't see any forests around
Radhakund
when we
do Parikrama Radhakund. Now? Mm. Yeah, because they wrecked everything. They cut it all down. Mm. 50 years ago, between like Radhakund and Vrindavan, you know when you come from Vrindavan to Radhakund, that was all forest. You know, 50, 60, 70 years ago. So it was thick forest. Even if you look on the internet, do some like Google search, you look at Kusum Sarovar. I've seen pictures on the internet, Kusum Sarovar. You go there now, there's no trees. But maybe 100 years ago, photographs, huge trees right up to the bank of the Kund. But then they cut everything down and now it's all gone. But even not so long ago, 50 years or 60 or 70 years ago, there was a big forest all the way from Vrindavan to Radhakund.
Six seasons, so four plus monsoon is five. What's the sixth?
Then Jew. Jew. Jewy season.
Jew.
Yeah, Jewy season. Just thinking what the order is. Monsoon. I think it's after. Is it after winter? Was it? I can't remember what the order is. There's an order in which they come. And one of them is like a dewy kind of a season.
Is that like humid?
No, I mean still a little cool. But I was reading it the other day, but I just can't remember the order. There's six. When you go back, you'll see. O King Parikshit, when Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan and the banks of the river Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. In this way, Krishna and Balaram acted like small boys and talking in half-broken language gave transcendental pleasure to all the inhabitants of Braj. In due course of time, they became old enough to take care of the calves. Jamuna, you like to read them.
As soon as Krishna and Balaram were a little grown up, they were meant for taking care of the calves. Although born of a very well-to-do family, they still had to take care of the calves. This was the system of education. Those who were not born in Brahmana families were not meant for academic education. The Brahmanas were trained in a literary academic education, the Kshatriyas were trained to take care of the state, and the Vaishyas learned how to cultivate the land and take care of the calves and cows. There was no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated and later increase the numbers of the unemployed. Krishna and Balaram taught us by their personal behavior. Krishna took care of the cows and played his flute, and Balaram took care of the agricultural activities with a plow in his hand.
So what is the system? What is Prabhupada talking about here? Vanashram Dharma. Dharma means, like Prabhupada says, the intrinsic nature of something. So the intrinsic nature of human society is Varnashram. Varna and Ashram. It must be there. So, people, they're trained according to their Varna. If you're Brahmana, you get trained like a Brahmana. If you're a Kshatriya, Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj, one of our gurus, he has a gurukul in Mayapur. He said to me one time, he said, you give me one of the kids for 2 weeks, I'll tell you what they are. He said, give me the kid for 2 weeks when he's 5 years old. He said, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, so I can tell you what they are and then that's it. Train them like that. Then you don't have to waste time. Problem with the modern system is we all go into the same system and everyone's different. Right? I know when I went to school, I wasn't interested. I like practical things, but they just sit you there and they tell you all this stuff that you never use again. 90% of what you learn, you never use that. Right? You just need to know mathematics, right? And then you need to learn how to write, how to read. Right? After that, then go into your special field. If you're Brahmana, if you're Kshatriya, if you're Vaishya, if you're Sudra, then train in that particular way. So Prabhupada said this is the actual system. These days, everyone just does IT. And then you get unemployed. Kali Yuga ki. Years of training and then you can't get a job. This is perfection. This is a successful society. All these people. Even back when Prabhupada was there on the planet 1970s, then Prabhupada said, he said, you bring all the unemployed people to me. I can engage them. Send them to our farms or different things. You can make them work. But these days, they don't engage the people properly. People don't know, I don't have a job. Because there's no IT work. And then Prabhupada said, then go and grow food. Just go to the land, grow some food, then you've got a job. What are you working so hard for? Prabhupada was in Surat. Where is Surat? Which part of India?
West.
Gujarat. So Prabhupada was up there. So he was on morning walk, and Prabhupada looked into the field, and they're growing tobacco. Right? And Prabhupada said, what are they growing? Prabhupada knew what it was. He said, what is that? And he said, tobacco. Prabhupada said, what for? And they said, Prabhupada, they grow the tobacco, and then they package it, they send it away thousands of miles, and then someone buys the tobacco, and then they send the money back, and then Prabhupada said, then what do they do? And then Prabhupada, and they said, then Prabhupada, then they can grow food. And Prabhupada was just laughing. He said, they're all fools. You go to the land there, you just grow the food. And you grow tobacco so you can send it over there so someone gives you money so you can get the food. What's the point? This is the modern system. Right? The natural system is, you just grow. You need food, and there's the land, grow the food. What's the problem? So that is Varnashrama. Varnashrama means you learn what is natural, you live naturally, and society works. These days, everyone lives unnaturally, you have all these jobs we don't need. We don't need these jobs. What's IT for? You know, your life, you just sit there in front of a computer and everyone's got back problems. Humans aren't meant to sit down 8-10 hours a day. If you go back through history, you go back, where did people sit for 8-10 hours a day? It's never there. People are walking or doing something, go and get the water or go get this. In India, every time they make one tractor, right, puts 100 men out of work. Back in the old days, people were working and people are healthy and fit. So that's the Varnashrama system. So Prabhupada is explaining this is the system we should have. Natural living, that's what it means. Small scale organic farming. This is the only way to sustain the earth. The United Nations has said. And I trust everything the United Nations says. So they say it and it must be true. That's the system.
Okay. Yeah, now we see in all these big supermarkets, they have introduced the self-scan facilities. And even the first time when I saw yoga class, so many people must have lost their job when the self-scan facility came up.
But then you don't get to talk to anyone.
You don't get to talk, and those people lost their jobs. Because self-scan means you are doing it yourself, so they are not needed anymore.
Yeah, I never use that. Because I like to talk to someone. You have some conversation. Yeah, I mean, where I go down there near Geelong, where we buy our boga for the farm and that, I know the people who work there. You know, the old guy, I'm just trying to think of what his name is. Is it Pete? Yeah, and then there's the other lady. And they always say hello, because they say we're Hare Krishnas. And, you know, they always say, oh, well, what's going on? What's happening at your farm? Tell them a little bit about it. You do some little bit of preaching. But people these days, you don't get an opportunity to speak to the people. Well, they don't know who the people are. It's not very, not so good.
Actually, even worse now. Online shopping.
What's that?
Online shopping, even worse.
Online shopping.
Terrible. You don't even know it.
What do they call it? eBay?
Yeah,
the world's becoming impersonal. Yeah, success in life now is if you don't have to talk to anyone, that's really good. First class. Don't speak to people, because people are dangerous. This is society. Not far away from their residential quarters, both Krishna and Balaram, equipped with all kinds of playthings, played with other cowherd boys and began to tend the small calves. So what did Krishna and Balaram do in their spare time? Right? They got on their iPads. Where is it in the Bhagavatam? All the kids these days, what do they do? iPad, iPhone, iMac, iRock. Right? Useless. And what does it do to the brain? Like that. Turns to mush. I noticed my daughter, she has her iPad and iPhone. I don't think she has iPhone. iPad. She has all these things. And I notice when she's using those things, I limit how much she uses them. But she's different when she's out playing outside or something. I notice in her personality, it's a difference. Right? And when she's on, I say, okay, you can do that for 15 minutes and then out. That's it, go and play. Because it changes their consciousness, not good for their consciousness. So see, what did Krishna and Balaram do? They're playing outside, right? With the calves and like that, getting cow dung on them and like that. It's good fun. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would play on their flutes. Sometimes they would throw ropes and stones devised for getting fruits from the trees. Sometimes they would throw only stones, and sometimes their ankle bells tinkling. They would play football with fruits like bale and amalaki. Sometimes they would cover themselves with blankets and imitate cows and bulls and fight with one another, roaring loudly, and sometimes they would imitate the voices of the animals. In this way they enjoyed sporting exactly like two ordinary human children. So they're just playing naturally. Now, it describes in the Nitya Lila of Krishna, in the morning Krishna wakes up. Where does Krishna wake up?
Next to the cows.
Next to the cows. But what's his village called?
Goku.
Goku, when he's young it's Goku, but generally called Nandakura. So Krishna wakes up in the morning. What time does he wake up?
Sunrise,
like 6 o'clock he gets up. And then Mother Yashoda comes in, and Balaram sits on one side and Madhav Mangala sits on the other side, and she feeds them. Right? And what's the first thing they have?
Sweet
paneer.
Mishri.
I
think it's called Mishri.
Mishri. Right, so you get the, you know, paneer, you make it sweet, and they eat that. Huh? First thing in the morning, wake up, wash your mouth and eat that. Huh? How does it sound?
Sweet.
Not so bad. It's a good life, good way to start the day. So they start to eat that, and then, Madhav Mangala, he says, is there any more? Yeah, Mother Yashoda gives, and he said, is there any more? She said, okay, that's enough. And then they go out and they milk the cows. So Krishna goes down with all the boys, they go and they milk the cows. And then they come back up to Nandagram, and before they come back up to Nandagram, they have a wrestling arena. You know, in their villages in India, they have one area where they dig it up with a plow, make it all soft, and then the boys go and wrestle. So every morning after milking the cows, Krishna goes there with all the boys, and Sridharma, who is the brother of Radharani, they have a big wrestling match, right? And then Krishna, and it says they're like two bulls, and they smash each other, have a big wrestling match, right? Like the boxing. And then, after they beat each other, right? And then they walk up the hill to Nandagram, everyone's laughing and playing, and Krishna says, I won. And Sridharma says, no, I won today. And the big argument goes on. And they go back up. Then they take bath, they get dressed properly, and then they have breakfast together. So there's a system in the spiritual world. You know, so it says here they're playing together, right? Playing their flutes and having natural fun and natural pastimes, wrestling, imitating bulls, doing all these things. Just very natural. And this is actually good fun. You know, life is best when you don't have television. At my house, no television. Right. You know, sometimes like my daughter, she can watch, I let her watch some cartoon or DVD or something, but not too much. But and you see here in the pastimes, they just live naturally. They just play outside. Right? And they're having fun. And they've got lots of friends, and everything's very simple. It's good. Like in India, you see people just run around the villages. Now they've got TVs in every place. They all go and watch television. But in the old days, they used to just run and play, and, you know. And then they have that game with the kids with the tire and one stick. That's a good game. You can play that for hours. Just run up the road with the stick and then run back down like that. These days kids have all the, you know, plastic toys, different things like that. But it doesn't give the same pleasure. Pleasure in life is just simple things. Just with your friends playing and jumping around. It's good. So Krishna is showing us how we should live and how the children should be brought up. They should live very naturally, and then the kids will be happy. Okay. One day while Ram and Krishna, along with their playmates, were tending the calves on the bank of the river Jamuna, another demon arrived there desiring to kill them. What was his name? When the Supreme Personality of Godhead saw that the demon had assumed the form of a calf and entered among the groups of other calves, he pointed out to Baladev, "Here is another demon." Then he very slowly approached the demon, as if he did not understand the demon's intentions. So the demon is, a real demon. He comes in the form of a calf. Calf is like it's the most holy animal. But the demon comes. So what does Vatsasura represent? Now, who was the first demon?
Putana.
What did she represent? False guru. Second demon was? Shakata. Right. What did he represent? That load-bearing, laziness progressing, load-bearing mentality. Third demon was Trinavata. What did it represent? Mayavad philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, confusing everything, like a whirlwind. So now we have Vatsasura. What does Vatsasura represent? Vatsasura, the calf demon, represents a childish mentality, mischievous, and too easily influenced by bad association. It gives rise to a type of greediness for sense gratification, through which one becomes absorbed in materialism. Are you like that sometimes? Are you like a Vatsasura, like a little kid? You just want to have sense gratification. Do you ever get like that sometimes? Even though you're an adult, you're over 40 years old now, or whatever you are. But you act like a little kid. I just want to have sense gratification. I just want to enjoy myself. I don't care about anything. It's like Vatsasura, that young kind of calf mentality. So who was he in the previous life? Garga Samhita says, his last birth he was a demon named Pramila, the son of Mulu. He conquered the demigods in battle and then entered into Vashishta's ashram and saw Vashishta's cow named Nandini. Pramila wanted the cow, so he disguised himself as a brahmana and tried to beg for her. The cow spoke and said, "You are a demon in disguise. For this offense, you will have to appear as a calf." So for the mercy of Vashishta, Vashishta blessed, okay, you'll become a calf, but you'll be liberated by Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan. So this is Vatsasura. So Vatsasura is like this childish mentality. Just we want to enjoy sense gratification too much. Any questions? Okay. So I'll read a few points from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj. He says, "Children by nature are playful. This should not be stifled. The only effective way to protect children from becoming contaminated by sensuality is to engage them in Krishna consciousness. Do not restrict them." So he says with the children, because the nature of the children, they want to do mischievous things. But he said, don't restrict them. Don't say, no, you can't do it. But say, I'll give you something better. I'll give you Krishna consciousness. They want to play games, but give them Krishna games to play. They want to do different things. They want to watch DVD so they can watch Little Krishna. I know some of my friends, their kids have watched Little Krishna 1,008 times. My God.
I've watched it 20 times.
20 times.
I love it.
Really, you like it? Yeah.
The Krishna, the Walt Disney one. Is that the same one?
Yeah, it's like Walt Disney. It's not made by Walt Disney.
There is one that's Walt Disney.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Yeah, that's an extension of that one.
Oh, actually, sorry, it's Arjuna.
Yeah, it's Arjuna. Yeah. Okay. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, "The mundane nature of the boy is no less than a clog in a wheel of spiritual progress than the adult nature of the grown-up worldling. The process of training is identical in the two cases of the soul and neither young." So the point he's making is that sometimes in children they have this nature, they just want to enjoy. Right? They just go crazy. Kids go crazy. There's one I just want to enjoy. I just want lollies. I just want to enjoy. And then he says adults are like that too. Sometimes adults go crazy like a kid. I just want this. So he says, do not restrict them, but engage it in Krishna consciousness. If the kid is going, he wants too much sense gratification, then give him Krishna. In the form of prasadam or games or make it fun. Prabhupada said, don't restrict the children. And he said, the best thing to do, if you want them to come to the temple, you have to make the temple fun. So the kid will want to come to the temple. Make it playful. Not like you have to come and make it all strict, but make it enjoyable. And then the children, they'll want to go. They drag their parents to the temple. I want to go to the temple. Okay. But you have to make it enjoyable. And same for the adults. If you just preach to all the adults, don't do this and don't do that, they'll lose enthusiasm. But then if you make the temple fun, if you make it enjoyable, nice kirtan, nice class, nice prasadam, everyone wants to come. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this is how you overcome the vatsasura mentality, wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna. Just Krishna eyes everything. Okay. Which verse are we up to?
42.
Okay, I've got someone says 41, someone says 42, someone says 43. It's definitely 43?
Yeah.
Okay. Thereafter, Sri Krishna caught the demon by the hind legs and tail, twirled the demon's whole body very strongly until the demon was dead, and threw him into the top of a kapita tree, which then fell down, along with the body of the demon, who had assumed a great form. Upon seeing the dead body of the demon, all the cowherd boys exclaimed, "Well done, Krishna, very good, very good, thank you." In the upper planetary system, all the demigods were pleased, and therefore they showered flowers on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the killing of the demon, Krishna and Balaram finished their breakfast in the morning, and while continuing to take care of the calves, they wandered here and there. Krishna and Balaram, the Supreme Personalities of Godhead, who maintain the entire creation, now took charge of the calves as if cowherd boys. Prabhupada says in the purport, every day before lunch they would kill two or three demons. Every day. Just go out with the cows, play the flute, some demon would come, Krishna would kill, smash, the next one, kill that one, kill that one. And then, have lunch. So, Prabhupada explains, and the acharyas explain, when Krishna kills the demon, it's not the original Swayam Bhagavan, but the form which comes out of him is Vasudev. It's his expansion. He comes out, and he kills the demons. The original form never kills the demons. The original form of Krishna is very soft, but the Vasudev form of Krishna, then he becomes very powerful, he destroys the demons. One day all the boys, including Krishna and Balaram, each boy taking his own group of calves, brought the calves to a reservoir of water, desiring to allow them to drink. After the animals drank water, the boys drank water there also. Right by the reservoir, the boy saw a gigantic body resembling a mountain peak broken and struck down by a thunderbolt. They were afraid even to see such a huge living being. Who is this? Bakasura. So when you go from Vrindavan out to Varshana, out on the road from like Kosi, in that direction, you go through one place, and there's quite a few cranes there. Baka means like duck or crane, like that. So you go through a place, that's the place where Krishna killed Bakasura, at that place. And you see, even now, there's always cranes there, living in that place. So Bakasura, he was a huge demon. These demons were big. Not like just ordinary crane, but he's huge crane. So he was waiting for Krishna to come into Vrindavan, so he could kill Krishna. So the demigods, they're Krishna's devotees, they thought he's coming to attack Krishna, we'll help Krishna. So all the demigods flew down to to attack the demon. So Indra got his thunderbolt and threw the thunderbolt, and when it hit the body of the crane, like a duck or a chicken, all his feathers burnt off. And then he had two wings, the Yamaraj, Agni, the different demigods. They threw their weapons, they cut off the wings. And then one of his legs, I think Varuna, one of the demigods, threw his weapon, cut off his leg. So by the time Krishna got to him, but they couldn't kill him. He was so powerful. But by the time Krishna got to him, Krishna and the boys looked, and it was like some duck which had been burnt, wings are cut off, and they thought, this is strange. What's going on? Like, who's this guy? Right? And Krishna looked at him, and Krishna was smiling. He thought, who's this guy? He thought, he must be really demoniac. Even after all of this, he still wants to kill me. So then Krishna said, okay. I'll take care of it. So he went and killed this big demon.
But you have a question.
Yeah.
See, I read somewhere that in the material world, the Lord Vishnu doesn't touch any human being or anybody. He works through the Lord Shiva. So how is Lord Vishnu feeling?
No, it means that Krishna expands himself and his expansion kills him. Not that.
So that's not Vishnu.
Well, it says it's an expansion of Krishna, that's what it says.
Okay.
So we take it like that.
Because you know, when we were reading the Samudra Mantan, that time it was written that.
Yeah, in creation is explained in different ways. It says that Krishna's expansion kills them, the demons. Yep.
With this thing, why did the demigods try to help Krishna? He doesn't need help.
Because they care about him.
So why not with the others? Why just with this one?
There's others where they stepped in as well. But this one was very powerful. He's very big. So they were around at the time, so they attacked. They tried to kill him. Okay. Which verse are we on? 48. Okay. The great body demon was named Bakasura. He had assumed the body of a duck with a very sharp beak. Having come there, he immediately swallowed Krishna. When Balaram and the other boys saw that Krishna had been devoured by the gigantic duck, they became almost unconscious, like senses without life. So this is the influence of Yogamaya, that Balaram, he becomes anxious, but actually there's nothing to worry about. You'll see later on when Krishna fights with Kaliya, Balaram is calm. So sometimes Yogamaya covers Balaram or Krishna. Even when Agasura, which is coming up, when Krishna sees Agasura, he becomes worried. So sometimes Yogamaya covers so that they can enjoy the pastime. So Balaram became a little anxious at this point in time. That's just the influence of Yogamaya on him. So he can enjoy the pastime. Krishna, who was the father of Lord Brahma, but who was acting as the son of a cowherd man, became like fire, burning the root of the demon's throat, and the demon Bakasura immediately disgorged him. When the demon saw that Krishna, although having been swallowed, was unharmed, he immediately attacked Krishna again with his sharp beak. When Krishna, the leader of the Vaishnavas, saw that the demon Bakasura, the friend of Kamsa, was endeavoring to attack him. With his arms, he captured the demon by the two halves of the beak, and in the presence of all the cowherd boys, Krishna very easily bifurcated him, as a child splits a blade of grass, a blade of Virana grass. By thus killing the demon, Krishna very much pleased the denizens of heaven. So when Krishna doesn't like something, he really seriously attacks it. So it says when he kills the demons, he really he pulls his bifurcate means like rips it apart. I'm very painful. Someone gets your mouth and it goes, rips it. And you'll see when he gets through the different demons, he really hits them. Now in Kali Yuga, it says the demon and devotee are in the same body. So what happens when you act like a demon? Krishna really, he will attack you very powerfully. If you have demoniac qualities, Krishna will be very strong on you. He doesn't tolerate. So sometimes when the devotees are acting, like sometimes we act like demons, even though we're supposed to be devotees, we wear tilak and kanti mala and like that. But if you don't act properly, then Krishna will be very strong. And he doesn't tolerate demoniac tendency. So be careful, please. At that time, the celestial denizens of the higher planetary system showered Malika Pushpa, flowers groaning Nandana Kanana, upon Krishna, the enemy of Bakasura. They also congratulated him by sounding celestial kettle drums and conch shells and by offering prayers. Seeing this, the cowherd boys were struck with wonder. Just as the senses are pacified when consciousness and life return, so when Krishna was freed from this danger, all the boys, including Balaram, thought that their life had been restored. They embraced Krishna in good consciousness, and then they collected their own calves and returned to Brajabhumi, where they declared the incident loudly. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, the process is Shravanam Kirtana. What does that mean? Everyone just hears in Vrindavan, whatever Krishna does, then for the rest of the day, everyone just talks about that. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, he was publishing at one point in time more than one newspaper every day. And then they asked him, they said, how can you do this? He said, well, there's so much to talk about. Krishna has so many pastimes, they're eternal. So in the material world, we have so many newspapers. And that's just all nonsense. So imagine Krishna's pastimes, there's so many things. The devotees talk about Krishna all the time. Cowherd boys, the rest of the day they say, did you see what Krishna did to that duck? And they just talk about it, they glorify Krishna, and there's unlimited things to speak about. When the cowherd men and women heard about the killing of Bakasura in the forest, they were very much astonished. Upon seeing Krishna and hearing the story, they received Krishna very eagerly, thinking that Krishna and the other boys had returned from the mouth of death. Thus they looked upon Krishna and the boys with silent eyes, not wanting to turn their eyes aside now that the boys were safe. The cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, began to contemplate. It is very astonishing that although this boy Krishna has many times faced many varied causes of death, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it was these causes of fear that were killed instead of him. Although the cause of death, the daichas, were very fierce, they could not kill this boy Krishna. Rather, because they came to kill innocent boys, as soon as they approached, they themselves were killed, exactly like flies attacking a fire. Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna is like fire. What happens when you go near fire? You have to be careful. Do you ever put your hand in the fire? No, you have to be careful. So when you approach Krishna, you have to be like that. When you're worshipping the deity, you have to be very careful. Because if you don't act properly, you will immediately... you'll get fire. But if you go near the fire, you keep your hands warm. Fire is very nice. You go to the fire and warm your hands, very nice. But if you put your hands in, then problem. So same with Krishna. Right? Krishna is very warm, he's very purifying. But if you don't act properly, then immediately he gets you. And he doesn't tolerate impurity. He purifies everything. Very powerful. Krishna is very powerful. I've heard that. I've heard he's a good person. I haven't met him, but I... The words of persons in full knowledge of Brahman never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Gargamuni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. So Gargamuni said this boy will be just like Narayan. But Nanda Maharaj is so much in prema, he has so much love for Krishna, you can't see him like that. Even though it's been said to him, your son is practically Narayan, but he can't
imagine.
Yeah, he can't fully. He sees him. He sees, yeah, he's like Narayan. He's so powerful, so beautiful, so powerful. All these demons die. Yeah, huge sin, they come, but they die. He's like Narayan, but still, I can't think that he is Narayan, because his prema is so strong.
I believe he laughs also later on, or something like that. How can he spoil Narayan? He goes and steals. He doesn't have control over his senses.
Yeah, he's a thief. He lies. He's scared. So he has all these apparent faults. So Nanda Maharaj said he cannot be. He cannot be God. In this way, all the cowherd men headed by Nanda Maharaj enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. So Srila Prabhupada says, if you want to overcome all material tribulations, what does material tribulation mean? It means all problems in life. Prabhupada said, you have to absorb yourself in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you hear the Bhagavatam, your life becomes sublime. If you don't hear the Bhagavatam, it becomes very complicated. That's why we hear the Bhagavatam. That's why I do this. I attend this class for this reason. Because I know when I attend this class, my life becomes very uncomplicated. When I stop attending, it becomes complicated. In this way, Krishna and Balaram pass their childhood age in Brajabhumi by engaging in activities of childish play, such as playing hide and seek, constructing a make-believe bridge on the ocean, and jumping here and there like monkeys. So this is your God. No? All of you people, you worship this God who acts like a monkey. Bhagavatam says, this is the kind of people you are. No? I don't know. Good luck to all of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.